Good morning. I think that's the first time I've used my voice this morning, so hello. Hi. Hi, Barb. Hi, Sharon. Hi, Cynthia. Hi, Lynn. Hi, Dove. You can hear my voice, right? Wonderful. I'm so happy to be here. I'm so grateful to be in the room once again. I will, before I begin, ask to turn over the mic. So I believe Lynn will play the opening song. It's quite interesting to be away from Awakening Together morning service. I haven't been away in heart. I listen to gatherings in my car on the way to school, so I always feel connected. But I haven't actually physically been in the room much. But I'm very grateful to be here. And I will turn over the mic now as we begin to greet one another.
We are awakening to the calling of the mystic awakening. In the flowering of the heart, everybody here melting into presence, overflowing effervescence, rising in love.
Thank you. The purpose and values, there is a consistent wisdom in the universe that shows up in all religions, in all philosophies, in all cultures, and throughout time. This wisdom is not unique. It is not new. It is owned by no one and by no organization. No one has to go to a special place or to a special teacher to find it. It is the most abundant wisdom in the universe. Once one opens his heart to this wisdom, it appears everywhere by the hand of the universal grace. there is also a way of not seeing universal wisdom. We all have the ability to be distracted from truth by self-limiting and segmenting beliefs. And so what is Awakening Together? Awakening Together is a universal assembly of peers dedicated to recognizing and embracing universal wisdom. Regardless of the form in which it appears, we are also dedicated to recognizing the ways we deny universal wisdom by adopting personal beliefs and biases. We want to recognize these limitations so that we can free ourselves from them and open up to the continuous flow of the universal wisdom. I'm going to repeat that. It really touches on this today. We are also dedicated to recognizing the ways we deny universal wisdom by adopting personal beliefs and biases. We want to recognize these limitations so that we can free ourselves from them and open to the continuous flow of universal wisdom. Our purpose, we are an assembly of equals joined in common purpose, awakening to the one true self within an appearance of many faiths, many cultures, and many symbols. We seek to discern one truth and to rest in its embrace. And today I will be really sharing from all. I had a hard time really pinpointing which core value I'll be sharing from today. And you're going to hear from all five. But we accept one true self, number three, which is one presence, one being, non-dual, without beginning or end, and absolutely changeless. We live this value by practicing letting go of the belief in the individual self as who we are. We accept one true self. We do have some announcements. Tonight is the monthly movie group facilitated by Jacqueline Eckhart. If you haven't watched this month's movie yet, you still have time. The name of the movie is Lovely Still, and we will discuss the movie here in the sanctuary tonight at 8 p.m. Eastern Time, right after Regina's seven-step teaching. Also tonight, right after the movie group, there will be an Awakening Together ordination ceremony. The members who will be ordained as Awakening Together ministers tonight are Bartholomew Craig, Hank Hamilton, Dolores Mabins, Jane Polly, Jacqueline Tulo, and Gloria Wells. I hope I said their names correctly. But please come tonight and join with us in this celebration at 9 p.m. Eastern Time and celebrate this ordination with us. Next Sunday night is also a big night. Our quarterly member meeting will be at 8 p.m. Eastern Time next Sunday, followed by our new guest teacher mini-series at 9 p.m. Our first guest teacher will be Martha Creek, a certified teacher of Byron Katie's The Work. Watch the daily updates this week for more information about next Sunday's member meeting. And the first guest teacher from this mini-series will be Martha Clark. I believe we add one of the names were left out. Sandra Ruse is also being ordained this evening, if I understand correctly. Okay. Yes. All right. So join us tonight, and you'll get to hear their ordinations. Let's see. All right, now we are going to begin with an opening song, and this opening song is called Opening to Love. How perfect. And this song is a little long, so I'm going to have to cut it off in the beginning, but this is called Opening to Love by Ashana.
So you are Lord.
Keep my eyes closed, dropping from the head to the heart. Opening to love, to that truth, that constant truth that is always present, always here. There can be many movies playing upon the screen. And as long as I am buying into and believing that I am a character on that screen and that somebody or something is doing or has done something, there is a letting go to do. I'm so grateful that this has taught me and teaches to constantly go back to that heart, to follow that guidance. Continuing to open to love. All right, I am going to turn the mic over to Lynn. And Lynn will read the reading for today. Thank you, Lynn.
Thank you, Nikki, and what a beautiful reading you sent me. I'm kind of blown away by this, so I'm just going to read it and not comment, but just read. The solution, becoming your own loving parent. We began our life as the quote-unquote true self, growing up in a dysfunctional family environment. Required we develop survival skills that in turn created a false self. This false self was carried into adulthood and perpetuated by an internalized critical parent or an inner critic. We reclaim our true self by reparenting our inner child via our loving inner parent with the help and guidance of our higher power. The wonder or divine child of Jung, the natural child of Bradshaw, and the inner child or true self of ACA, which is Adult Children with Alcoholics, this child is healthy, confident, spontaneous, creative, sensitive, playful, instinctual, trusting, enthusiastic, vulnerable, magical, zestful, in the moment, and fully alive. The Big Red Book defines the true self as the original person, being, or force which we truly are. As adult children, we have survived the often horrendous circumstances in our childhood homes. As children, ACAs may have been purposefully neglected, physically, emotionally, and sexually abused, beaten, starved, shamed, marginalized, and scapegoated or blamed for the sins of the parents. Even if the parents are not alcoholics or of drug users, their own parents may have been, and the generational curse is passed down. Our inner child is buried alive. A false self comes forward to ensure survival. This false self expresses the traits in the laundry list and is at the core of the problem. Although we look like adults on the outside, ACAs are still using the codependent survival tools of wounded children in daily life, not having been given the love and security to be emotionally and psychologically healthy, functioning adults. The need to resolve our childhood creates a repetition compulsion, an unconscious recreation of the circumstances in which we grew up, and the patterns of behavior we use to survive. So an unconscious recreation, not recreation, recreation of the circumstances in which we grew up. And I'm not going to comment, but recreation and recreation are the same word. Our picker is broken. I, Nikki, would say our filter is clouded. We are attracted to relationships and situations that mirror our dysfunctional childhood environment. We may be harmed by or cause harm to the people in our life by perpetuating the negativity, shame, anger, rage, resentment, avoidance, isolation, control, judgment, perfectionism, or addictions we experienced growing up. Because we are terrified of abandonment, we may tolerate or create high levels of victimization or abuse and consider it normal, living in chaos and using denial to remain in a dysfunctional comfort zone. Because we have internalized the negative voices or critical parent of our youth, we perpetuate the abuse, believing the voice of our inner critic as it judges us harshly and unfairly, undermining our self-worth and leaving us feeling depressed, incompetent, insignificant, empty, and alone. The important thing to remember is this critical voice is not our true self. Becoming our own loving parent is at the core of healing from a neglectful childhood. It is also the gateway to the child within. In fact, the BRB, which is the Big Red Book, recommends developing the loving parent prior to accessing our inner child, as it may be holding on to intense rage, pain, and suffering, and so can fuel addictive and destructive thoughts, feelings, and behaviors. In addition to the ACA 12 steps, this is the ACA solution. By reparenting ourselves with gentleness, humor, love, and respect, we find our child within and true connection to a higher self, to a higher power. This is the God who does not abandon. Through the solution, we understand that we can release our biological parents. We can continue to separate from our family in body and mind. This is an important step as we develop our own identity that is different than our dysfunctional family. And this is from the ACA Big Red Book, Chapter 8. We learn to program and reparent ourselves with the help of our higher power by acknowledging and honoring the feelings of our inner child and affirming that we have good qualities. We replace this internalized critic with a loving parent, reclaiming our true self with unconditional love and compassion. Wholeness requires the acceptance and integration of our character defects or survival traits with our healthy and positive character strengths or attributes so that we have a balanced personality. Whenever we take inventory of our defects, we must inventory our basic strengths and positive attributes as well. With help from our higher power, we move out of denial through increased awareness of our early experiences. One way to access and create dialogue between our higher power, loving parent, and inner child is meditation and prayer. Another is writing and journaling. We may use the dominant hand to express the loving parent and the non-dominant hand to express the inner child. This is a great idea. We may journal, write letters or poetry back and forth, or simply allow our inner child to draw, sing, and dance to bring to the surface their energies and experiences. You may find these practices will also enhance your spiritual life and conscious contact with a higher power. We are not alone in this journey. We find the strength and support necessary in ACA to heal our wounds, grieve our lost childhood years, and not remain stuck in the past. We learn to create a safe space to nurture our inner child so we can thrive. In our new life as a whole and complete person, the false self is dissolved. The critical parent is silenced. The loving parent is manifested and becomes a constant guide to encourage and affirm us Negotiate wise and fair choices to set and enforce reasonable and healthy boundaries. The true child again expresses the wonder, joy, enthusiasm, spontaneity, and zest for life that is its birthright. This is our homecoming to that still, peaceful, holy place deep within us that never changes or is lost. And resources and further reading, Big Red Book, Chapter 8, The Solution, Becoming Your Own Loving Parent. So I'm giving this mic back to you, Nikki. Thank you for giving me this beautiful and very useful reading, because I too need to look at these very things in myself. So, Nikki, the mic is all yours.
Okay, there we go. I'm back. Deep gratitude when you were reading that. I don't want to stay on this for very long, but I just want to quickly share with you that when Regina asked me to take today, I already knew that this was going to be the reading. And my opinion was that I didn't want to share this. Mostly because I have heard people comment about going and doing inner child work and about connecting to the loving parent. And although it wasn't a conversation that I had with them to share, you know, that the loving parent is just Holy Spirit. I shouldn't say just, but is Holy Spirit. And I could never use the word Holy Spirit, and I was guided to use the loving parent for a very long time. For a very long time. I thought and revolted from the idea of connecting to an inner child until I learned that that was the true self. And there are parts within the Big Red Book that are within ACA, the 12-step program of ACA, that teaches that there is also that inner child that began to buy into the story, that began to buy into the lie. And so going back and using that as a springboard to remembering the truth, something miraculous happens. Our homecoming to that still, peaceful, holy place deep within us that has never changed or is lost, that beingness, that isness, that is our truth. Whether the movie screen, going back to the movie screen, the characters that have been playing on that screen, whether Nikki was violent or loving, happy or depressed, what was playing out on that screen needs to be embraced in order to get to that canvas, right? In order to get to that canvas that has embraced all movie screens, all characters playing out. Because that attachment to the false self, that attachment to believing the thoughts of the false self, will keep drawing me back into playing a certain role. And from doing this work, as we detach, the role plays on. So that role may be a minister, a teacher, a student. And who is the one that thinks that a minister is more important than the teacher or a student? They're doing facials. That's what I'm doing right now. They're doing facials are less important than being a minister. You know, that's all just thoughts. It's not true. Mm-hmm. So the body is simply moved to do and be. But the attachment to the I am bad belief is dissolved. through this work. You know, and when people would ask me about the I am bad belief, or that they kept coming to me and sharing about being deep in that bad I am bad belief, I understand. Because there was this little girl that believed that the events that were happening in her life were because she was not enough. That if she was enough, that she was that holy isness. That if she was that true self, that these events wouldn't happen. Yes, beautiful. And Sharon typed in, no spiritual bypass. And that is true for me. I have talked to people, and I would say that Regina is one of them, that I've been with Regina and been amazed how that clarity came through with no need to do certain things that I had to do. Yes, she has been devoted and done the work. I don't mean it in that way. But it's just, there's been a couple of times where I'm like, I'm amazed that I had to go and learn this through ACA, and you just naturally got it through doing your own process. And that's why I see many paths to the same truth. Okay, so in the middle of this reading, because we have internalized the negative voices or the critical parent of our youth, we perpetuate this belief system. So we believe the voice of our inner critic, and it judges us harshly and unfairly, undermining our self-worth and leaving us feeling depressed, incompetent, insignificant, empty, and alone. And the important thing to remember is this critical voice is not our true self. Now, what's really important to me here is that I would see or hear people that would have an awakening of sorts. I'm not talking about enlightenment. I'm talking about an awakening. And so I had an awakening in the sense that I realized what I was, realized the truth of awareness, of isness. But I kept being drawn to and attached to that critical voice. And so learning the language of critical parent, critical voice, to true self, or loving parent, or Holy Spirit, it was very helpful for me for becoming super sticky to those thoughts that came running in. So becoming your own loving parent is at the core of healing. And in this book it says from a neglectful childhood. But this is the part that's amazing, is that that neglectful childhood could mean that my parents went to Hawaii. And I decided that it meant that I was less than. Right? So that belief that I am something that I'm not started very young. And through this work, it got me to that blamelessness. Being honest, being able to say that I bought into that. Not that look at what they did to me. Look at how they acted. Because everyone acted from buying into their own inner critic, from their own judgment, from their own belief system, from their own thoughts, right? Everybody's acting from that space until that that loving space has opened up enough so that it's no longer sticky and I move from that. And even when I learned this new language, I used it to beat up on myself because I shouldn't be buying into the critical voice. I should be listening to the loving voice. But I just was so attached to that critical voice that I thought it was going to keep me safe, that it was going to protect me, and then it was going to make it so that nobody could hurt me ever again. Isn't that interesting? So that attachment to that voice keeps me suffering and keeps me in that pain and keeps me buying into the lie. So in addition to the ACA 12 steps, we learn to assess or access that part of ourself that I have stuffed and said that it was wrong and that it shouldn't be there. that I ran from, that I did destructive behaviors, right? And then I start learning the solution, that by reparenting or surrendering to that loving parent within. We do that with gentleness, humor, love, and respect. And I naturally, through doing this work, I naturally am spontaneous and enthusiastic and full of wonderment and joy and have a zest for life that I don't even recall having except for when I was young. So this is our homecoming. This is our homecoming to that still, peaceful, holy place deep within us. It has never changed. It has never been lost. Going back to the screen that the movie's been playing on, that screen is still, it's peaceful. It has never changed. It's never been lost. It doesn't matter what movie's been playing on that screen. It doesn't matter. And through this process, I got to release the belief that anybody did anything to me. Right? To be able to reclaim that true self with unconditional love and compassion. And it's really important because for me, this wholeness required me the acceptance of the things that I perceived that I did. Finding out how I perceived or believed something about myself because of what was playing out on the screen. Can you imagine going to a movie and sitting in the audience and watching the movie and perceiving and believing that the people, the characters playing out on that movie screen are doing things to you, and you decide that means something about you, right? But that's what happens. And so as insane as it may seem to be honest and tell the truth about, you know, because I was in denial, I pretended like nothing happened. And then I perpetuated the same thing over and over again. I was in a hamster wheel living that life over and over again. Because I hadn't brought it to light. I hadn't become willing to look at those beliefs that I held on to so deeply. And as this happens, as this letting go of the false self happens, the thoughts don't necessarily, and I hear a lot of people talk about, you know, the thoughts are still here, but there is this acceptance of those thoughts. Let's go back to the watching a movie in a movie theater. Right? So those thoughts that are being played out by that character on that screen, when you're watching that movie, you don't suddenly attach yourself to a thought in the movie. Of course, unless it's triggering something that you already perceive within yourself, and so it's bringing that out. But it's just a thought. It's just a thought. So when I come in and I share or I talk to people about dropping out of the head into the heart, you know, that sounds beautiful, but if the head is telling stories that you've bought into since you were a very little girl or a very little boy, it feels so sticky to let those thoughts go. Because there's, you know, those underlying beliefs, those core beliefs. There's so many different ways to do this. You know, Diedrich from Choose Again does the 6-step process. Regina does the root cause inquiry. Yeah. And I integrate and use both of those when I work with people. And it's really important to be in that space of the loving parent, to not buy into any of the stories. And in order for me to do that today, I had to have done this work myself. Let's see, what time is it? I'm going to stop for just a second and play a song, and we'll see what time it is when we come back. But the song I'm playing is If You Knew How Much I Loved You.
Oh.
Line, if you knew how much I love you, your mind would cease to be. Before it ceases to be, it ceases to mean anything. You know, Jeff Foster says it beautifully. He says it's like a bird chirping. It gets to that point that it's just a bird chirping, and there's an acceptance and allowance for the bird chirping. It's not told it shouldn't be here. It's not told it's bad or wrong. And so I'm going to go back to the big red book in that that small little chapter that I love so much. It says in our new life as a whole and complete person. Now, you know, I would definitely rephrase a lot of things in here. But in our new life as a whole and complete person, false self is dissolved. Right? And another way of saying it that I've heard Regina say, or that has that same clarity, is that if I know the truth of who I am, I'm not going to buy into that false self. I'm not going to buy into any thoughts. And that chatter that said to me that I don't want to bring this to Awakening Together. The idea that if I am still buying into the false self in any way, if I'm still buying into any thought, that critical parent isn't silenced. Right? And that's what this says. In our new life, as a whole and complete person, the false self is dissolved. The critical parent is silenced. The loving parent is manifested and becomes a constant guide. And I would say that constant guide, there is no desire to have a different guide. There's just no desire to have a different guide. And that guide lovingly takes me anywhere. To see anything, to encourage and affirm us, to negotiate wise and fair choices. And I love how that is worded too, because to negotiate wise and fair choices doesn't mean it is for a personal self. That it should look this way for Nikki. But I see that it has nothing to do with Nikki. To negotiate wise and fair choices, to set and enforce reasonable and healthy boundaries. That becomes so natural. It is, and I wouldn't even call it a boundary. But there was a time I needed that word. The true child, again, expresses the wonder, the joy, the enthusiasm. I'm no longer concerned about what people are going to think about me. If I'm going to expose myself and they're going to find out that I'm, you know, some horrible human being. That true child, again, expresses the wonder, the joy, the enthusiasm. She's moved to be joyous. That spontaneity and that zest for life that is its birthright. Now don't use that. You know, it's always so interesting that critical voice will use any new language to say, I should already be there. I should already be peaceful. I should already be still. I should already... Oh, that's just part of the same. Just part of the same. I naturally accept all these parts of the self. This is our homecoming to that still, peaceful, holy place deep within us that never changes, that has never been lost. So I am going to turn over the mic and let people share. I will take it back at the end. But if anybody would like to share at this point, please raise your hand and I will give you the mic. Wonderful. Hi, sweetheart. Here's the mic, Sharon.
I am so glad and grateful that you shared this today on Awakening Together. A couple of years ago, I was spinning my story about my son, and I contacted Nikki, and she told me to get the ACOA book. Actually, she suggested it. And we were going to Dietrich's workshop in Colorado, which was excellent. Beautiful six-step process. As Regina's root cause inquiry. But when I bought these books and read them, they're not much different than A Course in Miracles. The same thing. The thing that it's doing is, though, it's allowing me to take that little inner child, which is covering up the full self, is just the ego, and the true self is who we are. And it does, you know, when I started A Course in Miracles 8 years ago, I was really in, you know, a little bit of a denial, or let me say a lot. And now I'm not. You know, I feel the peace of God. However, I continue to do this work, and I've opened up a group here in Altoona where I have a woman in her 80s and 70s doing this work. It's just such a wonderful process, and no different than any book you read. It all goes to the same place. But I really want to thank you, Nikki. You know, the time I spent with you, and, you know, I took it in, everything you said. And I use this book. I use The Course in Miracles. I, you know, it's one thing that Nikki said, because I'm an Al-Anon. She said, well, it's all the same. And I was like, yeah. See, I wanted to think that that Al-Anon was not as, advanced as a course. But actually it is. It just depends upon the critical parent telling you that you're not advancing, you know. Critical parent is ego. You know, there's never been any other parent but God. So I just love that, you know, you're here today, Nikki, for me to thank you, because I know you're in school and I haven't seen you, but, you know, I am absolutely grateful for you. And I will always be, because this is a wonderful process. Thank you for bringing this book into the sanctuary. Love you.
Go ahead, Monica.
Hi, can you hear me? Thank you so much. Thank you. Thank you so much, Nikki, for bringing that literature in. I learned something called transactional analysis, and it was that we relate to people either as child to child, child to parent, or child to adult. And, of course, it can go the other way, too, adult to adult. Adult to child. Anyway, especially what you shared about reparenting. You know, I had to learn to reparent myself, coming from a very, very dysfunctional, childhood and a lot of deprivation. And, so I had to learn, I came into the 12-step program myself, my own addiction, some 24 years ago, almost 25 years ago. And with a lot of therapy, and I learned about codependency and ACOA issues, and it's all part of the healing process. And I will say I'm a little preoccupied. My sweetheart, Peter, is in the hospital. He's a dialysis patient, and he has other health issues. And now he's having open heart surgery this week. There isn't a date set yet, but he has, you know, valve problems. So he's a sick man physically. He's a well man spiritually. And I did get to spend a lot of time with him yesterday. I don't have a way to get there today. I'm still compromised because of my brain surgery and not driving. So, you know, what's important is my spiritual condition. That's what's important. And, you know, I need to take good care of myself so that I can be a support to Pete. He's my fiance now. Be a support to him. And treat him as adult to adult, not as an adult to a child or adult to parent or parent to parent. I need to work with him as adult to adult, you know. And that's what's important. So thank you so much, Nikki. And I will release the mic.
Thank you. Monica, everyone that is in the room or anybody that listens to this later on, I'm going to play the rest of the song, If You Knew How Much I Love You. And I want you to abide in the heart and take Monica and Pete there with you. At the end of the reading today, where did it go? I'm looking for it. This is our homecoming. This is our homecoming to that still, peaceful, holy place deep within us that has never changed. That has never been lost. That's the true self, right? And to keep coming back to the true self. There is this, you know, by reparenting ourselves with gentleness, humor, love, and respect, we find that child within. It's not the emotionally unavailable or the emotionally unadult. It is that joyous self, that isness, that has always been present, that original being or force, which we truly are. which we truly are. So holding that space, dropping out of the head into the heart to that space, knowing the truth of Monica, knowing the truth of Pete, knowing the truth of that part of me that buys into a story, because there's a seeming part of me that buys into the story. And when we learn to investigate and we learn to question, we can see there's no such thing. There's no such thing as a false self, an inner child, a loving parent. There's only isness. There's only this. That is all that there's ever been. Much like the space that holds the room. Always been, always here, always accessible. It can go unnoticed. These are all tools to bring us back to becoming more and more in tune, available for that clarity. Yes, right? More in tune, more available for that clarity. Because I become less and less available to that clarity as that little child was. Right? I've told this story to many people about my youngest son, Ashton, when he was 2 years old. I was just starting on this path, and my sponsor in the program asked me to tap into that higher power. I was way too alive in my mind with critical chatter, way too alive with it. I thought that I was that, right? So she's asking me to become open, just to become open to another way of seeing. And so I don't even know how to become open to another way of seeing, because I think the way that I see protects me and keeps me safe. But I just have enough willingness, to start asking for this. I'm sitting on the bed. I know Sharon has heard this story. I'm sitting on the bed. My little 2-year-old that doesn't talk very much grabs my face, looks into my eyes, and says, "I've been with you before, but you didn't look like this." Pow! My heart opens up. You know? That little child, that aliveness, that openness, Not buying into thoughts yet. This pow just opens me right up. That is that wholeness, that inner child, that true self, that clarity that's coming through. Because he's not buying into that head chatter. And that's what I'm looking to come back to. By reparenting. And I just want to, before I turn the mic over again. And I want to just comment on the indigo child. That's just another label. We are all that. We are all that innocence. We are all that wholeness. We are all that. We are all that. I just didn't know that I was that. I thought I was different. I thought everybody else was that but me. And what I was getting ready to say, by reparenting ourselves with gentleness, humor, love, and respect, if you're not in that space, if you're not in that place that you're able to reparent yourself with gentleness, humor, love, and respect, reach out to someone that can be that space for you. That can take you to that clarity, to that truth that is within you. And if you can, and you can hear that Holy Spirit, if you can hear that loving parent with clarity, consistently, then you know that that is much clearer, much more true than any of the stories that our head can come up with. And through this solution, we understand and we experience and we begin to know that that is our true home. I love you. Thank you so much for opening up this time for me to share. Does anybody else like to share before we have a closing song? Lynn, here's the mic, love.
First, I want to thank you, Nikki, for being here today. I don't know if you know how much I love you. because I'm telling you what, I love you. You are just such a part of my heart, and I just adore you. And it's so hard to be in adoration of someone and not come off like I'm, you know, stalking or, you know, but I just, whenever I see anything of you, I'm just filled with joy. And so I just have to express my heart. And I mean, that's just the way it is. thank you for we're all Nikki stalkers, I know. Thank you for giving me this beautiful reading today. And what it did for me, actually, is heart to see that there are still things that I'm hanging on to and clinging to that are beliefs about myself and my life and my family and my, you know, parents and my sisters and my brother and all these, you know, people that, characters that were a part of my upbringing and you know, the whole idea that I've always had that I'm alone and that I've been so lonely all my life, not because there weren't people around me who loved me, but because I didn't feel that connection to them because of all of these things that, you know, I'm reading about in that reading, the whole idea that, you know, somehow or the other, they let me down and didn't love me as much as I deserve to be loved. That's not true. That was an idea in my own head. It was a thought in my own mind about myself because of this, yeah, deep sense of unworthiness that not only affect my life and my relationships with people in the world, but affect totally my ability to accept God's love because of that lack of feeling of worthiness. And I couldn't do it by looking at the I am bad. I didn't believe I was bad. I just believed that I didn't have what everyone else had. And that was the thing. I believed that other people had happy families. Other people had loving parents who paid attention to them. Other people had these things and I didn't. The fact is, nobody did. Nobody did. It didn't matter how much the parents paid attention. It didn't matter if the parents drank or not. It didn't matter what they did. Nobody got what they needed from their family and their childhood and their life because they were looking to their family and their childhood and their life for the things that only God can provide. And so, feeling unworthy of God's love, and receiving love that seemed inadequate in all ways put me in a place where I was just nowhere and nothing. Nowhere and nothing. And seeing that all these things, everyone everywhere, was trying their best and doing what they could in the situation that they were in, just as I was trying my best and doing what I could in the situation I am in, and doesn't mean that any of it was less than. I think all of it was 100%. All of it was 100%. But 100% of nothing is still nothing, because the only thing that there is 100% of is God, and God is all and everywhere and everything. And so looking at these things is really, really helpful to seeing the reality of our situation and the incredible state that we move into when we stop looking at those things and start seeing the truth. When we stop looking at those things and blaming the past, blaming my situation, blaming something else, giving up my own personal responsibility, giving up my own authority to something that has no authority and no responsibility whatsoever, it puts you in a pretty scary place. So anyway, thank you so much for this, and I'm hoping that everyone who's here or hears this on the radio, or I'm going to play it again later, really, really get what you're talking about, Nikki, because this is it. This is it. If I don't have that whole loving relationship with my Father, then I am lost, afraid, and alone. And it's here for me now. It's here for you now. It's open and available. And all you have to do is look up from the garbage dump that you've made of your life, or you think your life is, and recognize that every single bit of it is a treasure. So thank you. And I'm going to let go of the mic, and you can play a closing song, and then we'll be here for our wonderful fellowship hour after this. So, Nikki, the mic is yours.
There's a new download that I did on Pal Talk, and it takes a minute to pick up the mic. But a couple of things, and I know we're running out of time. But there's a couple of things that popped into my head while you were sharing that that love, that love, that pure love. When there's anybody I leave out of it, that I have some work to do, and I had some work to do. There's this movie called About Time, and I really highly recommend you watching it. This movie About Time did something for me. I was watching this movie, and I don't care what my movie looked like. When I watched this, I thought, wouldn't it be miraculous to be able to go back and be present with every single thing in my life, with a loving parent, with that loving space, with that knowing, instead of in my head, in my story, with that critical voice, and be fully present with what was. There's not really anything that I couldn't be with. There is really not anything that I can't be with today, as long as I am in the heart. I'm about to play a song, and this song is called I Shall Not Want. And when I first came into the 12-step programs, and I heard them talk about being of service, when I heard them talking about giving what I wanted, I used to get furious because I was still hearing it from the false self. I was still hearing it from the belief that I was something that I'm not. Now hearing this song, I shall not want, just opens my heart. I love you all. Thank you so much. Said, a sense of separation from God is the only lack you really need to correct. Yes. Only one problem and only one solution, but let your intuition lead you to that solution, no matter how you hear other people doing it differently. Much love.